Putting the past in passion. This is Aviator Cast, episode 94.
Calling all aviators, pilots, flight sim enthusiasts, and aviation lovers. You've landed at Aviator Cast. Join us weekly in our efforts to become better masters of the air through interviews, refreshers, lessons, training topics, simulator setup, hangar talk, news, and more. Buckle up and prepare yourself for this week's episode of Aviator Cast. Pre-flight complete, fuel on board, and flight plan filed. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. Here's your humble host, Chris Palmer.
Welcome, 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 aviators. You've landed at Aviator Cast. My name is Chris Palmer. All aspects of aviation are intriguing and challenging. From the deep study it takes to learn the many aspects of flight to building the muscle memory of aircraft control, each step and building block is part of the journey. It's not always easy, but it is certainly worth it when you find yourself aloft as one of those lucky few people who get to pilot an airplane by themselves. So welcome to this, the 94th episode of Aviator Cast. As always, Aviator Cast is brought to you by Angle of Attack, a flight training media production studio. I do a lot of media with aviation, so it's my company, and we're sponsoring the podcast. So a little bit about Aviator Cast, if you haven't been on our show before, or if you have, this will be kind of a refresher. Aviator Cast is all about aviation passion. It's about giving you that injection, that excitement from week to week about aviation. And we do that through things like interviews with other inspiring aviators. We may do insight into a particular part of the industry or knowledge or something that maybe you haven't thought of before, or maybe just refreshing on something that you had learned before. Maybe you've been out of aviation for a while. This is a good place to reignite that flame and get back into it and maybe just start to spark those pieces of your memory where stuff is stored in there, but maybe it's just been a while. Anyway, reigniting that flame. And then maybe getting the courage to fly and learning more about this industry, what it takes to become a pilot, you know, what are all the barriers to get there? Kind of breaking that down and taking away those barriers. We're very much about that here on Aviator Cast, and hope that we share that from time to time on here. And I think we do in each and every episode. It's usually pretty jam-packed with almost all of those things in each episode. So as always, when we get on one of these shows, I have a couple of reviews that come to us from actual Aviator Cast listeners. Now, if you get your review read on the show, I will send you an Aviator Cast t-shirt. We have right now some Fly or Die t-shirts. We're running out of those though, so we're going to be doing a new version of the t-shirts here coming up soon. And so anyway, you're going to be able to get your name in there to get one of those t-shirts. You might get one immediately. You might get one with the next batch of shirts, but I will send you a shirt in return for you leaving a review for Aviator Cast. And we have a couple more today. So we have one from Rob798, gives us 5 stars on iTunes, says must have for your flight bag. And this says, I had been a student pilot for the past 2+ years, now a private pilot, and this podcast has been my companion all along the way. Chris Palmer maintains an honest enthusiasm for aviation that is contagious and inspirational. A great interviewer as well. I randomly ran into Chris at AirVenture this past summer. The podcast is not an act. He's the real deal and an asset to the aviation community. Looking forward to spending more time listening to the Aviator from Homer. So really appreciate it. That actually comes from Rob, and I can tell you exactly who this guy is. I actually mentioned him before on the podcast. I ended up meeting him inside of a B-17 at Oshkosh during the Third Eye Blind concert, and we were talking to each other just as strangers, and then kind of connected the dots and found out that he listens to Aviator Cast and he's into some other great stuff. Really love this guy. So thanks a lot, Rob, for leaving that review. Really appreciate it. And your words are too kind. Really appreciate it. So our second review comes from Local Aviator 518 from the USA. And he or she says, great interviews. Listen to this podcast before every flight lesson for a little motivation. The speaker has great guests with lots of information. Keep up the good work. pretty simple there, but thanks a million. Really appreciate that. And we actually have a couple interviews coming up after this particular episode that I think you guys will really like. Lots of meat there for you guys to enjoy. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end of the podcast here. So on today's episode, what are we going to accomplish? Well, we're going to get into pass in passion. So every pilot who is going for a rating or doing something new in aviation, meaning something official with the FAA, they need to be able to go through the entire study process. We're mostly going to talk about written tests on this particular episode, but for those of you that are unfamiliar with the entire process, I'll break it down really quick at the start, and then we're going to get into how to go through this process of doing your written, how to pass it with confidence, with high marks, and actually enjoy the process along the way. So that is what we're going to get into. You know, I've been flying a lot recently and really enjoying getting into seeking a new rating myself, which is my commercial rating. And it's just actually been really fun. I enjoy learning, and I try to enjoy the process along the way, because I'm really not a person that actually likes, you know, heavy books. I was never a good student or anything like that. But when it comes to aviation, I'm a fantastic student because I'm passionate about it. So here we go. Let's get into it. Let's talk about the pass in passion. All right. So when a pilot goes for a new rating, they are going to do a three-part test with the FAA and with people that work with the FAA to determine a pilot's fitness for that particular area of study. So say it's private, commercial, instrument, CFI, whatever it is, it's always going to be the same amount of testing, the maybe not the same amount, but the same process, if you will. And that's broken down into three parts. There is the written test, there is the oral test, and there is the practical test. So the written test is a blanket way for the FAA to see if you've actually studied the material for that specific area. It's their way of saying, okay, we can't really sit down with you for a large amount of time and really see that you know all these areas. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you a pretty lengthy multiple choice question test that is drawn from a bank of many, many questions. And this randomly selected test is going to show us on paper before you actually come to the actual flight test, if you will, that you have done enough work, you've learned enough that you are ready to take the next step. Now, this is a written test that's taken at an FAA testing center, and sometimes they affiliate with some other companies and things, but it's an official test where you have to sit down with only specific materials. You know, it's not open book. It's all pretty structured. You're not actually writing out answers, if you will. It is a multiple choice question test. For the test I'm taking now for commercial, it's 100 questions long, and everything's randomly selected from different subject matter. And then you, out of 100, it's a pretty easy equation. You get a percentage of what you're good to go with. And so in this case, I need to get at least 70 of the 100 questions right, because you need at least a 70% to pass. Now, 70% is a pretty low mark. If you only know, I mean, figure it this way. If you only know 3/4 of what you need to know about that specific subject area, even just for yourself and your own safety minimums, do you really know enough about the subject area to feel comfortable doing that? So I would say no. So 70% is pretty low. Myself, I'm shooting much higher than that, and I'll talk about that here in a little bit. So that's the written. The oral test is a way for the FAA to sit down with you one-to-one, and this is from a designated pilot examiner, and find out if you really know these subject areas. So just going through the written and memorizing everything isn't really going to teach you everything you need to know about that subject area. It's not going to give you the kind of knowledge that you need to be able to articulate to someone you know, what it is about that subject. So that's exactly what you do with the DPE, is you sit down, you know, it's hopefully it's kind of a relaxed environment where the DPE is asking questions about what would you do in this situation, or what about this, or tell me about that. And it's kind of open-ended for you to answer that. There are different strategies for that. There are, you know, you can dig a hole yourself if you're not careful enough. But I find that if you're well prepared and you start by getting prepared in the written stage and studying, that the oral will take care of itself and you don't have to worry too much about it. As always, each DPE is different, as each person in the world is unique and different. So that process can be different from DPE to DPE. But in an episode, a couple episodes ahead here, I already have an interview with an actual DPE that tells us about those things and what to really look for. So you guys have that to look forward to. And that's the oral. The third and final part of the FAA determining if you're fit for this license or certificate is the practical. Now, this is where you do the flying skills. You demonstrate that you actually know this area. There are specific things that they're going to be looking for that license. Those are the only things that they're going to test on. If you were to do something really dangerous and stupid, then they may fail you. But this is you showing the FAA that you are safe enough to get the license that you're seeking. Doesn't mean you're perfect. There's a certain amount that you can be on usually each side of the things that you're doing. And, you know, there's some wiggle room here and there. They don't expect perfection. They just expect that you're going to be safe. As you progress through your ratings, it gets more and more detailed, and they expect greater quality in your skills. But it's very specific what they're looking for, and they go through that process. Now, there are some new things happening with something called the ACS. I don't want to get into it too much, but there used to be something called the PTS, Practical Testing Standards, and now there is the Airman Certification Standards, or ACS. And it has changed things a little bit. Mostly it's adding a larger emphasis on decision-making and scenarios, which I actually really like. But there's a lot of talk in the community of some negatives in that area. So those are the three different parts. There's the written, which again is that multiple choice question. You're not actually writing out the answers, but it is something you really have to study for. There's the oral test when you're sitting down with the DPE, designated pilot examiner, on your check ride day, and you're going through this question answer sort of format, which again, hopefully is a bit relaxed, but you should know your stuff at that point. And then there's the practical test where, again, you're showing your and demonstrating your flying skills pertinent to the license that you're seeking. So, again, we're mostly going to be talking about the written today. In fact, that's my big focus right now myself, because I'm going for my commercial rating and I've been working on that first step, getting that. I do have my check ride scheduled. I've been flying regularly. Practicing the maneuvers and things that are required as a commercial pilot. I have some time set aside down in California. I'm from Alaska. I have some time set down aside down in California to do a lot of intensive training for about a week to get my license down there. And then I should be good to go. So for me, you know, I definitely have my challenges. And I think challenges when you're seeking a new area in aviation like this, your challenges are pretty fore in the mind, and they are trying to prevent you from succeeding. And it takes a lot of work to kind of break through those barriers. Everyone has their own barriers. Some of mine barriers, you know, I'm 31 years old, and I know that's pretty dang young. I know I'm a young guy, but I'm not as young as I used to be. And I find that my mind doesn't learn as fast, and I'm not catching on as fast as I used to. That's just the nature of how it is. You know, the older people get, sometimes the harder it is to learn. I just had my first child, by the way. That's probably news to everyone. I just had my first child may not be. I may have said it on the last episode, but his name is Apollo Ray. We're absolutely overjoyed, and it's been so much fun. That's a big obligation, right? I have this beautiful boy now, and he's so great and so wonderful, and I want to spend time with him. My wife wants me to spend time with him. I want to bond with him. I want to teach him. I want to adventure with him. I want to share aviation with him. I want to do all these things. And so I have my first child. And so that's an obligation, you know, could take away from the time available to do those things. Work obligations. You know, this is something typical for anyone that is making their own living in life. And that's going to be anyone basically above the age of 18. You may be in school and your school's getting paid for. I'm a big believer in focusing on school and not necessarily working at the time. If you're doing both, good for you. That's awesome. But work obligations are big too. And for me personally, things aren't getting easier. They're busier than ever. And there's never really a good time to do it. And so I'm finding that I just have to say, listen, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And it's going to be now. And with some of the future goals I have in aviation, I need to start taking those next steps. So one way or another, I got to find a way to fit it in. So that's another thing is work. My dollars aren't limitless. I'm not wealthy. I'm not rich. I feel wealthy and rich in the blessings that I have in life. But if we're talking about dollars specifically, you know, I don't have a huge bank account. That part of it is and probably always will be a challenge for me, although I'm open to prosperity, I guess. But, you know, dollars aren't limitless. I have to do it right. I have to do it efficiently. And I definitely need some money up front in order to do it. And now's a good time to do that because I'm kind of in that middle ground, that position. Also, another challenge is I'm just an average pilot, maybe a good pilot. I'm not great. I'm not special. I'm not different. I'm just run of the mill. I have a pilot's license. You know, I wouldn't say that I'm extra special or anything like that. Try to keep myself humble that way. And that means that I don't have this extra right stuff, right? I don't have this thing that, where I can just absorb all of this aviation stuff. And it's so easy for me. I honestly haven't met many people in my aviation career that are like that. I feel there are kind of varying degrees right in the middle, but most people are challenged as they're going through this process. And that's the whole point, is to challenge and maybe get on the uncomfortable side and grow. But that's what I am. I'm just an average to good pilot. I wouldn't call myself smart. I think maybe I'm intelligent, but I wouldn't call myself smart, especially when it comes to math. I'm not super great at all that stuff. I feel like I'm pretty balanced in a lot of areas, and I understand aviation as a whole pretty well, but I wouldn't call myself really good at, you know, learning and just absorbing a lot of information. I don't think that's really me. I personally have a hard time reading material and studying, basically applying myself to study. And that's just not the way that I really learn best. I'm typically a visual learner, which is why I really like video training material and things. But, you know, when I have to, I can really learn from books, but it's definitely not the most efficient way. And it's actually not the most efficient way for most people. There are definitely better ways to learn, but that's me. And like I alluded to before, I struggle with self-motivation like many people. So, you know, these are all things about me. I'm not saying they're about you, but you can investigate within your own life and within your own self what barriers you have. And a lot of our barriers are probably going to be similar, maybe with age, maybe with family, maybe with work and money and those sort of things. Those are all barriers that are there, right? So with all that said, I have every excuse. I have every reason to say, I'm too busy right now. I don't have enough money right now. Maybe I'm too old for this, which totally isn't true. I'm young. But all of these excuses where I could say, okay, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to walk away, wash my hands of this. I'm going to wait for a better time. But what happens when I'm 5 years or 10 years down the road and I look back and say, you know what? Things didn't get easier. They actually got a lot harder. And I really wish I would have done that at that time when it was easier. So I'm taking the sum total of all those things in my life right now. And I'm saying, okay, I've put it off for this long. It's time to go for it. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to go for this and I'm going to apply myself. So while I am all of those things and I have all those barriers and all those excuses, and even if I go for it, those are still going to be barriers and things that are, you know, make this journey a little bit difficult. I have one really big point to make first before I get into the meat about the written stuff. While I do have all those things in the way, I'm very careful to do one major thing and let one major thing, a positive thing, drive me. And that is my passion. I let my passion drive my learning, not, you know, try to force myself into doing things that I'm just not grasping and it's not going well. That's just not how it really works for me. So my passion for aviation was what keeps me coming back and keeps me learning these things and keeps me breaking through these barriers. And these aren't barriers or things or anything in aviation really that are just kind of temporary for one certificate or one rating. This is a constant in aviation. If you don't let your passion drive that learning, it's going to be very hard to get through it. So again, your barriers are likely different. They could be similar, but again, we all have barriers. So passion allows us to push through those barriers. And, you know, even keeping an eye on the end goal and saying, okay, yes, my passion is in flying. I love to fly, but what makes that even richer? So, you know, getting a PPL, that allows you to take passengers, your family, your friends, allows you to explore more. That's a huge thing that you can add to not only your enjoyment for the act of flying, but having that extra stuff along the way and being able to share it with other people and being able to, you know, be this adventurer, this modern day explorer with your PPL. It really opens up your world to get your PPL. Maybe it's an instrument ticket where now you can fly in more weather and more situations and you refine your skills as a pilot and you learn a little bit more and you come out of that instrument ticket just feeling on top of the world. That's a really good one. And it adds, you know, another skill in your toolbox, another tool in your toolbox, if you will, to, you know, be a better pilot and do more things. A commercial license where now you can technically get paid to do this stuff. And that's just crazy. Now you're kind of on the other side of it where, you know, someone's actually going to pay you to fly. Isn't that kind of a crazy concept? And then, of course, there's the CFI where you can share that passion with others and pass it along. And that's what I'm really shooting for. I'm not myself looking to become a commercial pilot, at least at the airline level. I would like to do a little bit here and there just to keep my skills, my real world skills sharp. But I would also like to teach people how to fly and share that with people. So interestingly enough, PASS, meaning passing a written test, passing a test in general, is in the word passion. So you cannot pass your test without it. You cannot pass your test without that passion. So let it guide you, let it motivate you, let it energize you, and that will put the pass in passion and you can keep moving forward. So if you take nothing away from this podcast other than that, that's what I'd really like you guys to get. Okay, so I spent far too long talking about myself, and so now I'd like to give you guys some straight up tips, the things that I'm using, the things that I'm doing to prepare for that written test. What are the things that you guys can do, and you can mold this process to your liking? What are the things you guys can do to have success? So how I study, first off, is my equipment list. So I have a laptop for notes, and you could just use a notebook of some kind, but you're going to need multiple sheets of paper for it. An iPad for the ASA test prep app for whatever rating you're going for. So you can download and pay for that. I'm not sure exactly how much that is, but it's fairly affordable. an E6B, which is a flight computer. Now, you're going to need to use a manual one because it is the only one allowed within a testing center. So this is a commercial private CFI thing. I think you're allowed to use different things for instrument, or instrument doesn't really require as much as of this type of stuff. You're going to need a calculator. Has to be a pretty simple calculator. So I don't use anything fancy. I'm actually just using the one on my iPhone, which emulates one that I can get at the store, which I need to go get before my test, but emulates one at the store with just simple multiplication, addition, subtraction. There are some very specific rules on what type of calculators you can and can't have. Basically, they don't want you to have a calculator that has these hidden memory functions where you could potentially pull up questions and answers to the test, okay? Because this question bank does come out of a certain amount of questions, which are all very similar, and you will see the exact same questions, or at least some of the exact same questions on your test. So it needs to be a simple calculator. And then even though you may not be using the old method of putting your thoughts to paper, you do need a pencil and paper. And a pencil is very important because a pencil will work on your E6B for wind type stuff. You need a pencil and paper. And so that's what I need for my commercial. That's the same thing you're going to need for your private. Again, you'll need some specific things for each rating that you have. And then some of the other materials are provided at the testing center. For example, the charts and figures and things you'll be using for your test. So they do provide certain things. They actually provide the pencil and paper. I don't think they provide the calculator or E6B, but some of them probably do have them on hand. But I'm going to take all that stuff with me, and then they will provide the rest. Obviously, you can't have your phone. I'm not going to be able to use the calculator on my phone. So let's just make sure you understand that. So let me take you through my methodology and the process that I've been using to study for my test. I start to go through the study portion of this test one by one. And if I'm unaware of the answer, I don't know it immediately, I mark it and I move on. This is a way of me saying, okay, if I don't immediately know the answer, I obviously don't know the subject. So I move on, I mark it, I don't handle it right now. And really, there are two ways to do this. You can mark it and come back to it later, or in study mode, you can actually select the wrong answer or just guess and then see how they came up with that. And you get a good feel for it in each situation. Obviously, some of it is going to require you to go and study. But what I found, a lot of it, for at least my commercial test, is it teaches me the formulas and things I need to use in order to come up with the numbers that I need. So going through one by one and quickly trying to do that sort of thing. We'll be talking about how to do that during an actual test later, but right now you're just kind of studying things. So that's the first time I go through. I just try to answer everything as quickly as I can. The second time I go through, I review those questions that I had marked, and then I, you know, answer them to the best of my ability and try to go through them again. Sometimes those are questions that maybe require a bit more math. It's one thing to just flat out memorize stuff, but I don't really like doing that. I like to go and maybe study that subject a little bit more, come back, and then start to answer it again. And again, hesitation is not a good sign. It means that you don't know that subject really. When you go and you study deeper into a specific subject, you're not just memorizing one answer, right? You're actually understanding a body of knowledge that can answer many questions. So you're kind of reversing that process. I really don't like the idea of just flat out memorizing a bunch of these answers for the test, because that's not the way it works. I want to be a pilot that really understands the subject matter, and I understand what they're trying to teach me, because it's for a reason. I just assume it's for a reason that they're trying to teach me these things. Now, I do have my complaints about certain things, which are thankfully, with help from the industry in cooperation with the FAA, they're being moved out of the test material, things like ADF questions and things like that are just out of date. So with that caveat, understand that they're trying to teach me something. So that's my second pass again, going through, and after I've gone through the deep study, answering those questions that I'm struggling with and I can't answer right away. So the third pass, if I flat out got the question wrong, I write it down in Evernote on my laptop, or this is really something you do even if you're studying a specific subject. So for example, I'm really weak on aviation weather maps. That's not something I'm great at. I'm fine on the theory of it all, you know, how certain weather phenomena happen, but I'm not great on the charts that are used by the FAA. And they ask some of these crazy questions about, you know, what is on that particular chart. So that stuff is a little hard for me and something that I need to get into more. And so I kind of create not only cheat sheets of what I need to know that is pertinent for that subject area. Yeah, it's kind of like a review sheet. But then I also will write down the correct answers to questions. And so I find that that locks into my brain the correct answer. So, you know, I'll write down the subject area and keep all the questions in that particular subject under that header, if you will. And then I put the question down and then I put, you know, what the answer is basically and why. And that gives me a larger cheat sheet that I can refer to and locks into my head what the correct answer is. Because if I don't do that, then the same questions that come up later on can look the same and I could answer it incorrectly again. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to change my brain. I'm trying to change the process somehow from the reason I answered that incorrectly in the first place. Even if it was something I thought was really obvious, I've got to do something different to change my brain. And I find that actually writing it down, like typing it on paper or writing it on paper, typing it on the computer or writing it on paper, then it just does something different to my brain where it can lock into my visual memory, if you will, that I'm putting that on paper and that's what the correct answer is. So I hope that makes sense. So again, the first round is just as quickly as I can go through answering the questions. Second round is after deep study, answering stuff, spending more time on it. And the third round is if I haven't got it right by that point, then I'm really writing it down on my Evernote apps or whatever note app you want to use. Or a piece of paper, a notebook, again, something larger because this is going to be a lot of subject matter to go through. And I'm pretty liberal with that. You know, if I'm in the first area, the first run through, and I see something I want to study more, I'll write that down. At this stage, you can't go wrong with just doing things right that way. Another good thing to do along the way when you get a question wrong or something you need to study more is take a screenshot with your iPad or your iPhone, whatever it is, and you can build a library of those questions that you're missing, and you can review those after the fact. So when you take a test or study and you leave that test, it kind of erases the memory, at least in the ASA test prep app. And if you don't screenshot some of those things, you're not going to know you had missed those questions. So that's something I do, is I make sure to screenshot that material and then I can review it later on my phone. Another great feature about the ASA Test Prep app is it allows for the study of one subject area. So for example, you'll study weather, aircraft systems, regulations, cross-country flight planning, whatever it is, it one specific study area and that's it. So you go through all of the answers, questions and answers for that one area, which I find is nice because I can kind of keep my head in the zone there. And then, so what I do is I go through those and I keep going through those until everything is green, until I've answered all the questions correctly or I've studied them and then answered them correctly. And I remove the markers from it and everything. And once I have a completely green board on a specific train or a topic, then I'm done with that topic. Now, unless you're really deficient in that topic, I wouldn't go back to it a second time. You're more than welcome to, but I typically just go through once and then I'm done. But you can certainly go through and do it multiple times if you want. But there are a lot of questions here. You know, for the commercial pilot airplane, there are 606 questions or something. So that's a lot of questions to go through multiple times. And I think it's really helpful to get, when you can, after you've studied, after you really understand the material from a base level, again, that foundation of actual knowledge rather than rote memorization, it's good to start to get into the test mode. It's good to start exercising that muscle memory of what it's going to be like to take this test in the wild. And with the practices that you've already done in the study area, now going to the test mode area, it's going to really build you into that zone of actually taking a test. And so this is my methodology for actually taking a test. Now, taking a test on the app and taking a test in the actual testing center should not be any different. It should be exactly the same. Now, I mentioned earlier, I'm using my iPhone calculator. I would even argue that that may even be something for me that's a little bit risky because I'm getting used to my one calculator. I know where the buttons are. And what if the buttons are a little bit different on my little cheap whatever calculator and I make a mistake during my test and miss a question there? So even there are some risks there. So what I'm trying to say is everything that you do on these practice tests, again, in the test mode, not the study mode, should be the same as if you're in the studies or the actual testing center. Okay, so same materials, everything. So we've got that set. So the first pass, again, just like the study mode, I go through and I answer the questions as quickly as I possibly can, while being careful to read exactly what it's asking. If I don't know right away without the help of the multiple questions, I may choose to skip it. Again, the hesitation part of this is usually a sign that I don't know the subject. And if I'm actually in the mode of testing now, it's a really hard time to learn something because there are just too many variables. So if I don't know the question right away, I move on. My whole goal with this first pass is to just get a lot of these questions out of the way. So I also skip any questions with heavy math or figures that take some work. So I would skip over time and distance stuff. I basically look at the body of the question. If I see numbers and stuff, except for a couple examples, I skip over it. I mark it, I skip over it because I want to spend time on that later. And we'll talk about that here in the next step. So in other words, the first run through is to get all of the easy questions out of the way first. You get as much done as you possibly can. And then you get into the second pass. So you've gone through 1 through 100, some of them marked, whatever. And now you're going to go back to number one and start to scan what you haven't done yet. Okay. So this is where in the second pass, you're going to spend 80% of your time on the test because these are those time consuming tests or questions that just take, 5 to 10 minutes each. Some of them are pretty complicated and you're going to be really focusing on these core math questions or whatever it is. So the first 90% of your questions, again, will have already gone by really quick because you already knew those answers and you're already done with that portion of it. So now you're going to be left with 10 to 20 questions if it's a 100 question test. Basically 10 to 20% of the test left for those complicated questions. So for any questions regarding math, heavy numbers, interpretation, anything that has multiple numbers, pressure, altitude, weight, temperature, wind, often all of those things together, I always write them down. I write everything down on a new scratch paper. Okay. Have little scratch papers. Or if you have a big sheet of 8x10, you could start to sequester it off and then scribble out a question when you're completely done with it. But you want to focus on that one question at a time. So I write all the numbers down. I put them on that scratch pad, again, using a paper and pencil, just like I would in the testing center. This way, I don't have to go back and forth to the figures. I just have all the numbers right there. I can correlate between the figures and my numbers, and it's all right there. And it's really important because a lot of these questions are going to require a lot of back and forth. There are averages, multiplication, addition, subtraction, and interpolations, and all sorts of things that you'll just need to be totally honed in on. And having it down visually will help you make sure that you don't miss anything, because if you're trying to store all those numbers in your head as you go through stuff, even things as simple as a density altitude calculation on the E6B, which is a very simple calculation. We're talking about outside air temperature in Fahrenheit or Celsius, and the pressure altitude. And then that gives you your density altitude. But even that, I feel like you can make a mistake on it, even though there are a couple numbers. So I'm always careful to write them down. It just gets me in the zone on that one question. Okay. So that's the second pass. I go through that and I basically answer everything. Most of them are going to be math questions. Some of them may be questions that I got hung up on and I just need more time to think through, but getting through that first rapid pace of going through and just answering the questions, you know, again, being careful to read it correctly. And then the second pass, going through and really getting the heavy stuff done. That brings us to the last pass. Now, I call this the caution pass. At this point, if you don't know the answer to the question, you're likely going to get it wrong, or you'll get lucky by guessing the right answer. So caution must be taken. The reason why this is the caution pass, caution must be taken in the third pass, because second guessing yourself on questions that you've already answered will most of the time turn a question you've answered correctly into an incorrect answer. So be very careful not to overthink some of these questions. Again, if you've gone through and you've answered it correctly to your knowledge the first time, chances are that if you change it, you're going to change it to an incorrect answer. That's what I found, and that's what I've heard before about taking tests, is that you will likely change it to an incorrect answer. So just be very careful about that caution pass. But if you need it, it's there. If there's something in the second pass or you mark it and you need to spend a little bit more time on it, then there you go. Now, this is where you come to a place, whether you're in the testing center or when you're just by yourself, you know, studying with your iPad or iPhone or whatever, where you're gonna have to hit the grade button. So this is where you have to say, okay, I've done all I can. I've exercised this muscle memory many different times. This is how I take tests. This is the most efficient way. And with all the consequences before me now, after I hit the grade button, I just need to press it. So let go of your fear. It's time to hit that grade button. So that's what you do. And this brings us to the final pass, which is the grade and notes pass. So now go through one by one and enter these questions into your notes, because if there's anything that you've missed at this point, you need to review this subject matter. So this is a big red flag. This says, okay, you don't know this. Now it's time to really focus on this particular subject. So this is where you take that screenshot, you put it in your Evernote app, you do the correct answer, you write it down, you put it in context, you add some things to it, some meat, whatever it is, you do your due diligence to make sure that you do understand that and why you didn't understand it in the first place, or why you kind of got messed up or misunderstood. You know, sometimes that can even come down to the way that the FAA asks these questions, and it can come down to semantics and some other things. It gets a little bit tricky in some of these questions. They are definitely trying to trick your brain with some of these things. So you just got to be really careful. So sometimes you're not only learning the actual subject matter, but in particular cases, which isn't all the time, but in a couple cases, you're learning how the FAA asks questions and what they're looking for there. So just keep that in mind as well. You've got to, again, change your brain. If you hadn't learned it by that point, you got to change your brain to the right answer. And you're not going to do that by just rote memorization. So you're going to have to write something down, see it visually. You're going to have to put it in context in your notebook, whether that notebook is digital or physical. Okay. once you've gone through all the study tests by subject, and again, that was our first step in the entire study here. And then once you have gone through many subsequent actual tests, like the process I just told you about, that process that is the same for going to the testing center, you'll be able to consistently pass your test with high marks. And you just keep refining the process until you're getting up. And you're only, it's going to be frustrating because you're only going to bump up a couple percentage points every time, okay? It's only going to be 1 or 2%. Then you're going to go back down 3%. Then you're going to go back up 5%. And eventually you're going to build confidence because you're going to see, hey, I'm consistently getting in the 90s now. And once you're getting in the 90s, it's time to schedule your test. So that's the time to call up the local testing center, figure out where you want to go, sit down and take this test and schedule it. Scheduling it is very important because it gives you an actual time in the future where you are committed to going, and that will lend to your commitment to studying the subject matter, okay? So it's very important to actually, once you're in the 90s or even a little bit below that, in a reasonable amount of time, schedule your test so that you can go take it. That takes a couple steps. You're going to need a certified flight instructor to pass off that you know that knowledge. Sometimes you can get that endorsement for going to get that test from some of these tests or some of these study packages from King School, Sporties, things like that, where you're actually watching a video course, for example, or a ground school course. You'll get an endorsement from them, and then that allows you to go and actually take the test. So again, if you're in the 90s, go schedule it. If you want to shoot a little bit higher than that, find that mark. But one way or another, you guys will absolutely get there, and it's going to work out. So by taking these tests in this way, you're going to learn also the hot spots the FAA wants you to know, what they're really concerned about. This is going to be a recurring theme through the entire desired rating, not only in the written test, but in the oral test and the practical test. These are things are really going to push on. For me, it's right now, it's performance, it's aircraft systems, it's on the fly math. So there and a lot to do with the E6B on fuel and stuff like that. So lots of little details you need to know. I know that those hotspots are just going to carry through. And it's just it's a process, you know, this, regardless of what rating you're going for, this is a process. And again, just like I started in the beginning, you need to let your passion push you through these barriers because it is hard and it's not easy and it's not always fun. And if you think of that end goal in mind, you say, hey, I'm going to be a private pilot. I'm going to be an instrument rated pilot. I'm going to be a commercial pilot. I'm going to be a CFI. Or maybe you're even higher than that and you're just got an airline job and you're doing your first type rating and you're thinking, man, this is the hardest training I've ever done. You're going to be an airline pilot in a specific aircraft. You're going to be flying a jet or a turboprop. And that is a very, very, very cool thing. Something many people only dream of. So one way or another, let your passion push you through those barriers. Put the pass in passion. Hope you guys learned a few things about how to study for your written test in this podcast. We're going to have a few messages before we close out the show. And so here we go.
Join us next week for another exciting topic or interview with a great guest. Spread the Aviator Cast message. Please review Aviator Cast on iTunes or submit an audio question for the show at aviatorcast.com. All iTunes reviews and audio questions that are aired on the show will get an official Aviator Cast t-shirt. You can write Aviator Cast directly on aviatorcast.com, where you can interact with the Aviator Cast community, or write Aviator Cast at me@aviatorcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. For more information on angle of attack simulation training videos for FSX, X-Plane, and more, go to www.flyaoamedia.com. If you are looking for professional aviation training video services and other media, inquire at www.angleofattackpro.com. Now, for the final release clearance, back to Chris Palmer.
All right. So I hope you guys learned a thing or two about the written stuff. Good luck on all of that. Let me know if you guys have any questions. Me at aviatorcast.com. I'll be sure to answer those for you. Now, I'm not going to answer the specific questions of the test for you, but if you have any questions about how to study for a test or whatever, then let me know. But in all seriousness, if you do have a question about a specific question on a test, then maybe I can help you out a little bit. We've got a couple of great podcasts coming up for the next couple episodes. So I want to continue with this theme of training. So taking tests, learning from an instructor, taking a test from a DPE, and so on. And so the next couple episodes are, the next episode, we meet with Dave Herwig, who is a flight instructor in North Carolina. But his past is pretty interesting because Dave used to fly with the Golden Knights demonstration team, which is an Army parachute demonstration team that do a bunch of air shows, a bunch of sporting events, things. These guys are awesome. He's done tons of jumps out of airplanes. He's now retired. He loves flying. He's into flight instruction now at a school there in North Carolina. Cape Fear Aviation Flight Training is, I believe, what they're called. So we have a great conversation with Dave. We also have a sit down with Ken Whittakind from Texas. I mentioned Ken in a previous podcast where he did a presentation on flying in Alaska, flew all the way from Texas up and through much of Alaska on this big grand 6 to 7 week adventure that he had several years ago. Ken also works with a flight school, his flight school, ProMark Aviation in Texas. They specialize in off-airport landings and takeoffs and operations, and also in float ratings, but they do some other stuff as well. Pretty much anything you want to do in aviation, they can, or at least in your early ratings, they can help you with. But the big thing we're going to be talking to Ken about is DPE perspective. Ken is a DPE. He kind of demystifies the process, you know, trying to get to this place where we're not so concerned, we're not so stressed out about the entire process. And that's what we talked to Ken about is, hey, we've taken the written, we've gone through all the training, we're going to sit down on a check ride day, tell us what it's like from the DPE's perspective, what you're expecting, and how we get through this without our brains exploding, okay? So that's a very interesting and cool conversation, and that's where we go to next with Ken after our episode with Dave. So those are our couple great episodes coming up. Hope you guys enjoy them, and keep up the great work, guys. Keep up the inspiration. Again, let me know if there's anything I can do to help you. And until next time, throttle on.
10-5-8 is ready. 10-5-8 in the shoreline. Turn left heading 235. Maintain 2000. Runway 25 right. Clear for takeoff.
Clear for takeoff. 25 right. United 580.